what took you from being the typical Australian teenager who is drinking, tradie vibes, to going, you know what, I'm going to draw a line in the sand here and I'm going to stop drinking? Pressing play on today's podcast episode. I have Brendan joining me and we're going to be chatting about his experience in, I was going to say being sober, but I don't actually know whether being sober is the right terminology if you haven't had a drinking problem to begin with, but I imagine it is because sobriety just means like, what's, I was going to say restraining, like just not engaging in a certain behavior, doesn't it?
Yeah,
potentially should have Googled it before we press play.
like we were chatting before, like I never had a problem or an issue with it. So I guess like not drinking is sober.
If someone says to you, oh, let's go get a beer, I've never heard you say, oh, I'm sober.
No, I guess I don't drink. Like
saying, oh, I'm sober, there is an implication that you've had a problem in the past.
Yeah, I don't know how you'd word it. Like, until you brought that up just before, like, I wouldn't know. Like, I've always just gotten in the habit of, like, nah, sorry, I don't drink, but I'll have a Coke Zero with you, like.
Yeah. Just quickly, a word from today's sponsors. Unless, of course, you're one of our Venti members, in that case, there are no ads and your episode is about to keep playing.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
So perhaps if we rewind, what are some of your earliest memories of alcohol in terms of your childhood? Because when I think about alcohol and my childhood, like my parents were always very social with drinking. They would have friends over for dinner. It was very common for my parents to have a drink, but it was never a problem like in our household.
See, I didn't really – I just thought it was something that sort of grown-ups did when they hung out. Like I still remember sort of having like little sips of mum's best friend's husband's maybe, and I'm like, that's gross, like yuck. And then mum always sort of saying like, oh, you know, like you'll never like that stuff. And I'm like, and I've never been like a big fan of beer anyway, but like it tastes like crap. Like, but in terms of like the other things that I picked up on later on with my mum, like I didn't really think much of alcohol for so long, like until I was sort of like 10 or 11. But, yeah, I wasn't really around it a lot because it sounds like your parents, yeah. Would they entertain a fair bit?
Yes, yeah. My parents were definitely loved to entertain. Maybe love to entertain is a stretch, but they were always very social and we'd always go camping with other groups of families and it was just the done thing. Like the adults would sit around and have a drink. They'd have a drink over dinner, all of that sort of stuff. Christmas morning, champagne with Christmas breakfast, that kind of thing. And like you, I can remember being young and being allowed like a sip of the champagne to try it and thinking it was the most putrid thing and not horrible. Understanding why adults were enjoying it.
But we're cool for doing it. Like, yeah, I had a sip of a beer.
As you got a bit older, like in your teenage years, what was your, I guess, experience with drinking as you got that little bit older and also in terms of just like your mum with her drinking?
Yeah. It wasn't until I was sort of 10 or 11 and I used to sort of say to my nan, because I lived with my nan and mum, and I'd sort of say to her like, I don't really understand like why mum sleeps a lot or she sort of stumbles a fair bit. And at that age, I sort of didn't realize like sort of what alcohol did to you and how it affected the body and the brain. And it wasn't until I sort of started getting older and watching more movies and understanding. And then I sort of spoke to my nan about it, and Nan said that sort of mum drank a little bit. So that sort of made a little bit more sense of why mum was mum sometimes. And but in terms of me drinking and stuff like that, I probably would have started around 15 or 16 when we go to like house parties and stuff like that, and you're sort of kids. And when I started my apprenticeship, it was we all underage drank and stuff like that, and we'd head up the pub on a Friday arvo, and us apprentices would just hang out and sort of drink together as like a social bond.
So around the age of like 10 or 11, you started to realize there was a connection between your mum drinking and her being clumsy, yep, maybe a bit erratic, those sorts of things,
yep,
and started to connect the dots. But did, like, do you remember around that age thinking, oh, there's something wrong with that? Or was it more just a case of, oh, that's just normal? Like you just said, it was just mum being mum.
Yeah, I couldn't connect the dots of, like, A, it was a problem, or B, that
it wasn't common.
Yeah, like I didn't know anything about it or understood what was happening. I just, it made it more clear that mum would be clumsy and more tired and nappy when, yeah, because she'd drink and she'd try and hide it from me. So that's probably why growing up I didn't really see it overly as a social sort of thing, because mum would hang out with her friends and stuff while I'd hang out with Nan.
And yeah. I guess too, if like when her drinking became more of a problem, from things you've shared with me, she would also drink alone. Yeah. So that, again, is not framing alcohol in that social kind of Australian way that we're all raised to be like, oh, you get your friends together and you have a drink.
Yeah.
It obviously became more of a coping mechanism.
Yeah.
And then as you got older and you started to venture out to parties and those sorts of things, what do you remember about drinking at that age? Because like I remember my mum and dad saying, like, once you're 16, we will buy you a 4-pack of vodka cruisers, and that's what you can have, and you can take that to the parties that you're going to, but you're not to drink any more than that. And even now, I think if I had a 4-pack of cruisers now, gosh, I wouldn't be able to feel any of my limbs.
No, I know a couple of times, like, I asked mum to help me get it.
To buy it for you. Yeah.
But half the time, like, I think I grew up so quick, and at a young age, I sort of looked older. Like, I
had a beard at 12.
Yeah, 7. I either had a fake ID or I'd just go in and give it a go. And, yeah, 9 times out of 10, I don't think I ever got refused or not let in places.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pubs and stuff like that. I just looked. And then I think being in the area I lived and stuff like that, I think everyone's seeing everyone and knowing. Like, you're like, oh, yeah, he's a local. Like, I won't bother asking him for ID or anything like that. So
yeah, I'm not going to get in trouble for serving this kid.
No. So, but, yeah.
And then you continued to drink. And when you turned 18, going out, having the standard kind of Australian 18-year-old experience of having big nights out, backing them up, those sorts of things.
Massive nights out.
What was your drink of choice?
Probably Canadian Club.
That's a whiskey, isn't it? Canadian Club whiskey?
I think so, or a bourbon.
I was a Canadian Club promotional girl.
You would be.
I should know this.
Do you remember the first time you ever got drunk?
The first time I got drunk... No, I can't remember like the first time drunk, but also I have never been someone to drink to the point of being uncontrollably
mortal.
Let's get mortal. Trolling. No, like I am someone who has always enjoyed like one or two drinks. I like the sensation, the little buzz that comes along with it, but I've never pushed myself further than that. Like, I've never had blackout moments. I've only ever vomited once from alcohol, and that was in Vanuatu, and Rachel and Gora were there, and Rachel and I just drank so much that I ended up throwing up into a bathtub. It was awful. So the once in my whole life have I been like physically vomiting sick from it. But I can't remember the first experience of being like, oh, I'm really loose. Like, obviously being 18 and going out and like dancing on bars and those sorts of things and doing dangerous things that like it, I just can't believe some of the dangerous things that were really normal for us. Do you remember the first time you got really drunk?
Yeah, house party. I think it was like a bottle of passion prop.
You're drunk now.
passion pop. And a 4-pack of Woodstocks.
Nice.
Yeah. With my backpack.
I can hear backpack. I remember passion pop being just so the thing. And also there was a type of wine that was really cheap called Calara Crush. And it was like soup. I think that's what it was called. It was like the most sickly sweet, like $6 a bottle situation. And that was what we would choose.
Is a brand called Yellow or something?
There is a brand called Yellow of alcohol, but I can't.
I remember girls at that age sort of buying bottles of that.
There's yellow and pink.
Yeah.
So as you continued to get older, you would drink, you'd have your Canadian club, you're going out. What was kind of the point for you? Well, actually, let me reverse. When you were 18 and you were going out and drinking, was your mum still drinking? Was she drinking heavily? Was that where things were bad?
I think I noticed more and more, obviously, as I got older. But, like, I knew she sort of had issues, like, when I was, around 11 or 12. But then it just, I knew around 18... earlier that like that was just something like I couldn't talk her out of it. I couldn't change things. It didn't matter what I said or do. That was just what mum did. So like can't tell your mum what to do.
How did that impact you, do you think, like during those times? I know we're jumping around a little bit, but say you're 12, 13. What does that feel like, or how did it impact you to have a mum who is struggling with alcohol addiction and you're an only child?
Heavy. I felt very responsible and I felt I had to look after her. But yeah, I think going through what she went through, she definitely missed out on a lot of stuff. But
I've heard other people talk about a similar topic, well, the topic of like parents missing out, you know, and being the child that grows up and thinking, oh my gosh, I'm missing out on having the parent that's not involved in their life. Only then when they get older to realize it was the parent who was missing out more.
Yeah.
Because like you just said, she's missing events that are important to you, or those micro moments when you're looking towards your mum for reassurance or validation or connection. Missing a lot of those.
Yeah, definitely looking back now and realizing like the struggles she would have gone through, but also like it affected me a lot not having her at big events and like big time things for me, like my first grade soccer goal and stuff like that. Like, but then I look back now as I'm older and I've grown a lot as a human. Like, I know she's missed out more than me. Like, it would have meant the world to me having her there. But, like, I know as I got older and she would have realized a lot, which is, sad for her.
Yeah, sad for both of you.
Mm.
As you were a teenager and you were going out and drinking and your mum's drinking as well, did you have thoughts of alcohol is bad, or were you more in the mindset of like the average teenager, like alcohol is fun?
Fun. I thought it was just the norm, like everyone drank. Like, And I suppose, like, knowing that mum drank, I'm like, yeah, it's just a normal thing that we all do. And then obviously as me and my mates got older, that's all we did, like, on the weekend. We never drank during the week. I think when it got to a Friday afternoon, like, we'd go down the pub and catch up about the week and see what we're doing for the weekend. And then, yeah, guaranteed, we'd usually drink and then do stuff during the weekend.
Because at that point in time, you were doing your carpentry apprenticeship.
Yep.
So very much part of the culture of being a tradie is knock off, it's Friday, have a drink. Like, so many tradies drink in their car after work.
So many.
On the way home, crack a beer.
I still remember I've been on sites and concreters have had beers in their Eskies and they'll, like, finish, like, pouring slabs and stuff at 11 o'clock on a Friday or a Thursday and they've got VBs instead of smoker on lunch.
Yeah, right. So you're getting that messaging at work, you're getting the messaging at home.
Yeah.
That's how you're connecting as well with friends. What sort of drinker were you? Like, as in, when I say that, I mean, like, what sort of a drunk? No, I don't know. Like, when I'm affected by alcohol, I just get a bit silly. I get a bit loud. My inhibitions go down.
I think, like, my inner class clown just extends and gets bigger. Like, I get 100 times.
Good Lord.
Yeah. So, like, big goose, big class clown, life of the party.
Show off.
No, not like, I wouldn't show off, but I'd do really dumb things. Like, if, yeah, someone didn't want to do something, like, I'd do it first and.
Yeah. You don't have a high regard for your own personal safety.
No, not at all.
That's a current, like, that's a consistent theme for you, isn't it? I think it's
always been a thing, yeah. Like, I don't.
No risk, no reward type of attitude. And you just don't think about your personal safety, no, do you?
Like, if it happens, it happens. Like, I'll deal with it then.
It's really cool being your partner.
Says no one.
Okay. So what was the turning point for you then? What took you from being the typical Australian teenager who is drinking, tradie vibes, to going, you know what, I'm going to draw a line in the sand here and I'm going to stop drinking?
Well, even after mum died, I didn't look at drinking that bad. Like, it was just like, yeah, I don't even know if I looked at it like alcoholism was a disease or anything like that. I probably partied a little bit more after mum.
So your mum passed away when you were 19.
Yeah.
Due to alcoholism related.
So organ failure.
Yeah.
So she collapsed at home and then later passed in the hospital. But, like, even then, like, it still hadn't kicked in that it was, like, drinking was a bad thing. Like, it wasn't.
Well, especially if it's only ever been modeled for you that that's how you cope.
Mm.
You know, like, if that's how your mum was coping with everything, it would make sense then when you're, like, in a hard place. And losing your mum at 19 is awful. I mean, losing your mum at any time, but to think of a 19-year-old boy losing his mum when it's just you and your mum.
Yeah.
You and I have had so many conversations about it, but it would make sense then that you'd probably lean into that escapism.
Yeah, well, I'd go out with my friends and forget about everything. Like, you just go out, have fun and be a menace and be a goose, and then you just sort of forget about it, and then you just go to work during the week, and I suppose I just stayed busy. I think I've always stayed busy to sort of block certain things out.
So what age was it, and what was the impetus for actually stopping drinking for you personally?
So I had my 21st, and then that was big. Like, that was Mum really wanted my 21st to be big and fun, and she was going to plan it with me, but obviously she had passed, so I had a big 21st. And then it was probably like 6 months after that, I just thought I'd have a bit of a break and do, I had a PT at the time, one of my mates, and I did it for a bit of a health kick, and I stopped for I think like a year and a half.
Did you have a goal in mind? Were you like, okay, I'm going to focus on my personal training sessions, I'm going to go and I'm going to do 4 weeks of not drinking. Like, was there a mini goal to begin with, or were you like, oh, I'll just take a break and see where it goes?
It was just literally like an idea in the air of like, yeah, I'll just have a bit of a breather and see where it takes me. And it ended up being like a year and a half. I wanted to lose some weight and get fitter and like just improve. But yeah, and then...
I wonder if in the back of your mind there, like subconsciously, you were starting to process alcohol as something that robbed you.
Well, that's what I feel like that happened the second time. So then I went back to drinking every now and then and like socializing with alcohol. Like I wasn't getting blind like I used to. But then I stopped drinking again for a health kick again. And that's what everyone would ask me. They're like, oh, so you're not drinking. Like, what for? I was like, oh, just a health kick. You know, I just want to be a little bit healthier. And then it just got to the point where I didn't feel the urge to drink again. Or it even got to the point where the smell of alcohol would make me sort of...
recoil a bit.
Yeah. And then it wasn't until like a couple of years after I stopped that it actually kicked in, and then I realized like there's definitely like a more of a mum issue. And I think like in like now I know like it's definitely something like I've never thought that I'd ever have that problem, and I've never like if I wanted to stop something I can stop something, like I've got that control. But yeah, I think in the back of my mind I saw what it did to my mum. And yeah, it's just not something that interests me anymore.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
So it's now been how many years?
12 this month.
And you have no desire at all to drink again, do you?
No.
Even in social situations, like there's nothing.
No, not at all. I haven't had a drop, and I can't see myself ever drinking again.
Did you struggle at all with like the social lubrication side of things? Because I'm just thinking when I'm out and socializing, particularly when I was a bit younger, I did lean more on that sort of confidence for me. Like that I'd have a drink and it'd be like, cool, I can lower those inhibitions. I can be louder, be more confident, be a bit reckless, have fun. And I know now, like at 36, in social situations, I'm fine without drinking. But 10 years ago, I would have found it harder.
Yeah.
Did you struggle at all with any of that?
Definitely. Like I had groups of friends that just dropped off, like because that's how we interacted, or that's the only thing that we sort of had in common.
The connective tissue.
Yeah. It's like, oh, we'll go out this weekend and we'll, yeah, do what we do. But, yeah, I think... like now, like I'd much prefer to go out for dinner and sort of spend my night like that. But then I can still go out with friends, have a Coke Zero, but then I've got a limit and I'll tap out and I'll just smoke bomb. Like I'll say goodbye to everyone and stuff like that. But then I'll get to a point where they're
getting too rowdy.
Yeah, they've hit their, we're going to amp it up. And then I'm like, well, I'm going to leave. So.
And is that because you don't want to be around the reckless behavior, or because you feel awkward, or you've just had your fill like in the past of that?
Yeah, I think I've had my, in terms of fill, do you mean like that time you've had with your friends?
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like I get to that. And when I get to that, that's usually when they're sort of repeating things and we're having the same conversations and they're sort of venturing out for
It's so true, isn't
different
it?
Different things, and I'm just like, nah, I gotta go.
Because when you're in a group with people and everyone's drinking, you keep matching each other's energy. So they might be getting sloppy and repeating themselves, but you're doing the same thing.
Yeah.
So whereas when you're on the Coke Zeros and they're getting further and further down that drinking path, or the night's just getting a bit wild or a bit looser, it is hard to keep up the fake energy to match it.
It's so much effort. Like, yeah, I'm just like, okay, dude, like, you're starting to dribble now.
Gotta go.
I gotta go. Like, or then, like, obviously, a lot of my mates were single and stuff like that, and they were out meeting girls and stuff like that. And I was at that point where I didn't want to meet anyone, and I was just like, I'm going home. So, and usually I'd have MMA training or something around that. And I'm like, no, I've got to train in the morning. I'm going for a run or a cycle. I'm like, I'm out. So,
have you ever felt any, I was going to say shame, but I don't know if that's the right word. Like, do you ever feel an embarrassment when you're out and about with a group of adults and you are the one ordering a soft drink?
Well, even when you and I are out for dinner and stuff
and
like that.
I order a, what do I drink?
Sailor Jerry's and Coke Zero, and then I'll get a plain Coke Zero, but then they'll put the Coke Zero in front of you.
With the straw and then, the Sailor Jerry's in front of you.
I'm like,
insulted. We just swap it around. Yeah. But you don't feel any shame. Like, if we're out at dinner with people, you'll happily just order your Pepsi Max or your Coke Zero and you don't think twice about it?
No, not at all. And then I know at first, like, I was very, I'd say, sensitive about it because, like, obviously, like, I don't know if it's just Australia or, like, an age bracket, but then, like, I feel like people make certain people feel bad for not drinking and wanting to drink.
Well, it's definitely tied up in this toxic masculinity kind of culture of, like, have a beer, what's wrong with you, your big skirt, why aren't you having a drink with us, that type of thing.
Well, like,
did you like my tradie?
Yeah,
your big skirt. It was good. really dropped into
meat,
it.
Meat pie at smoker. I know for a fact, like, being a tradie, meeting other trades, Fridays they'd have barbecue and beer after work on Fridays every now and then, but, like, I still remember.
Has anyone got a Fanta?
Yeah, Coke Zero, like, sugar-free Red Bull. But yeah, then they're like, oh, Brendo, mate, you want a beer? I'm like, nah, sorry, I don't drink. Oh, what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
Are you a girl?
Yeah.
Like, how do we trust someone that doesn't drink? I'm like,
oh, you had that recently. Yeah. Someone said that to you recently on a job. Hey, like,
I've
can't
had
trust
it a lot.
Someone.
Yeah, like, oh, yeah, how are we supposed to interact and trust someone that doesn't drink? I'm like, same way you would if I didn't drink. Like,
and you're so deadpan in those situations. I can only imagine the chills that go up their body when you're like,
yeah,
just look at them.
And then, like, a lot of those times I feel like the relationships change because obviously I've taken it to heart, and you know me, like, if someone says something to me that
makes you feel rejected.
Yeah, or, like, offends me, like, I shoot razor blades through them with the looks that I give them, and I'm just like, yeah.
Yeah, it's also really inappropriate when people say those sorts of things and imply that you're less of a man or you're less of a human or you are going to damage the relationship that you have with them, whether that's in a career sense or in a friendship sense, hinging on drinking. Like, it's really offensive when it's like, oh, why can't, you know, we can't trust you if you don't have a drink with us.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can understand.
It's a shit feeling, especially when I'm probably a lot better when I don't drink because I'm in, like, control and I'm not jumping off roofs and doing dumb stuff.
Running around naked.
But the good thing is, like, my handful of friends now, like, they understand that I don't drink and they're more than happy to, rather than invite me out on the big nights, which I'm not offended that I don't go out to. Yeah, like, they're like, you want to go get a feed or you want to have brekkie somewhere, and I'd much prefer to do that and interact with people rather than go out and try and listen to someone slurring at me or, like, we're having the same conversation or...
It's not quality.
No.
You're also very discreet, I think, when it comes to this sort of thing. You know, I think there are some people who are like, I don't drink. And, you know, if they're in a similar situation to you, it's like, I'm 12 years sober. I haven't had a drink in 12 years. And they can get a bit preachy about it and be like, oh, you should try it. And I lost all this weight and I was less bloated and I felt better and da 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 da. Whereas you just like would never even bring it up unless someone directly says to you, why aren't you drinking?
Yeah.
You very much keep a lid on it and keep it to yourself.
Yeah, because I don't think it's something that I have to boast about or push on to people, because I think everyone is an individual and they can live their lives the way they want. Like, don't get me wrong, like, I've had friends sort of say to me, like, don't know how you do it. I don't know how you go out. I don't know how you be social. Like, how do you know when not to drink and stuff like that? And I said, I just do it. Like, I think it's just something that I've been grateful and I think I've used all my life is just control. And I think because in my childhood, everything was so out of control. I like things that are in control now. So like my MMA training and my eating and stuff like that. So when they say to me like, oh, I'm going to try it, I'm never like, mate, it's the best thing you'll ever do, blah, blah, blah. I'm just like, give it a go. If it works, if it works. But like me, myself, like I definitely feel better for it. I feel healthier. You save so much more money. But yeah, give it a go. Like, and like guaranteed like 2 weeks after they'll break. But like that's them. Like as long as they sort of give it a go. But I'd never be the one be like, oh, it's the best thing ever. Like I'm going to go out and tell everyone. And
you're like that in all areas of your life though, in terms of you never like to tell anyone what to do.
No.
To the point where sometimes I'm like, Brendan, tell me what I should do in this situation. And you're like, sweetie, I'll never tell you what to do.
And you're like, God damn it, Brendan.
Just tell me what to
Stop being shit. Just tell me what to do. I think because, yeah, growing up and even with the drinking, like you get judged. I get judged for my tattoos. I get drugs.
Get drugs. Please don't.
judged for not drinking. Like, so I just like to see everyone just doing what they like to do with their lives rather than feeling like they have to do something. And yeah, I know as I'm getting older, I'm starting to realize it a lot more, but I feel like I've known it for a while, but not fully put it into action.
And I know that you are very set on not drinking. You have no desire to start drinking again, but there will be times when you'll say to me, oh, I think it would have been fun for you and I to know each other when you were drinking, like, because if we go out for dinner, I'll have a drink and all it takes is one drink and I'm like, can't feel my arms.
Yeah, and then two, you're like, oh.
Let's go. And there have been times where you're like, it actually probably would be fun to have a couple of drinks with you, like in that context.
Yeah.
But it's never enough that it tempts you to break that streak. And I think that's because you've got that longevity behind you, which is actually interesting because you and I have been talking about developing habits for ourselves. And I said to you, oh, tick it off, like tick your habit off. And part of that was like, oh, if you keep ticking it, then you'll get a whole line of ticks and you'll be more likely to keep going with it.
Yeah.
And similar with this like sobriety thing, right?
Yeah.
Because you've got so many years behind you now. It's like, well, why would I risk that for a couple of drinks?
I look at it a lot like that, and I am so competitive. No. And I think my biggest competitor is me.
Yeah.
And I'm always pushing myself against what I was like yesterday and what I can be. So I think I was even like a couple of years in, and I even said to like Reese, I said to him, like,
which is your friend.
Yeah. I'm like, I don't think I could drink again. He's like, yeah, why? I said, because like those last couple of years would be a waste. And I feel like I've just honed into like a competition with myself now. So.
Well, you're very binary in your thinking in most things. It's all or nothing.
Yeah. Determined.
So that it works well for you in this instance.
Yeah. But even like thinking like recently, like, yeah, sort of going through like certain parts of my life and stuff like that, I've noticed that values and memories like are a big, big thing to me. And then I think back at like the amount of festivals I went to and got blind and reckless, and I still remember a home bake and like bands that don't play anymore, and I don't ever remember the gigs. Like it was just like,
yeah, so getting blind is in conflict with your top values. Yeah. Which are creating memories, and if you can't remember them, no, did they? Yeah.
I'm like, I like you said to me like, oh, have you seen Hilltop Hoods? I'm like, yeah, but I don't remember. I'm like, So now I think back and the amount of gigs that I've been to since we've been together and I've been sober, and I've remembered everything word for word, and you enjoy things so much more. What I do, I enjoy things so much more because I can put that in my memory bank and I can
access it with some clarity.
Yeah.
Speaking of going to gigs, you went to one recently and there was a man that was drunk and he was kind of up in your space and really bothering you. Do you find that you do get triggered by people that are drunk or the smells of certain alcohols?
Definitely, like, yeah, I think like a drunk breath, you can definitely pick that one. But like, I think they're fine. I think they're just being drunk because I would have done that at some stage, just try to have a D&M with someone and a chat and just talk about life. But obviously, like, I've got like a bit of a limit, and he sort of overstepped his limit, and I was super nice about it, which is really good. And I said, like, listen, mate, like, I've told you like a couple of times now, like, we don't know each other.
Because you went to a gig on your own.
Yeah, I went to see Amity Affliction the other, like, last week in Brisbane. And, yeah, I was just standing literally in the doorway looking in and watching it and stuff like that. And he came in and he's like, oh, you're so-and-so. I'm like, nah, I'm not. He's like, yeah, you are. You know him. And, like, nah, I don't. And then it got to a point where, like, I just had a yarn with him just to be nice and stuff. And he's like, yeah, so, like, so-and-so, I'm like, mate, like, sorry, but like I said to you earlier, like, I think you think I'm someone else. He's like, oh, I'm really sorry, mate, like, I don't want any trouble, like, and then he got all emotional. I'm like, mate, don't worry about it, just have a good night. He goes, really? I'm like, yeah, have a good night. And he sort of just went off and started chatting to someone else. Like,
the thing with you, though, that I have come to learn is that when you are triggered or when something bothers you, you don't really let it out anyway. Like, you're very contained. So if someone's up in your face and they're bothering you because they're breathing their alcohol breath all over you, you will just do exactly that. You'll be polite. You'll wish them well, send them on their way, yeah, even if it's bothering you.
I think I just try to make sure that, yeah, I don't make anyone else uncomfortable, even though I'm super uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, I sort of won't do it. But then obviously I've got my limits.
Even in Cairns, when we were walking home from dinner that night and there was a guy who was clearly drunk, maybe on other substances in the street, trying to start a fight with you.
Yeah.
And people do try to start fights with you because you're big, and I think people look at you and go, he thinks he's tough.
Yeah.
So let me, you know, like, let's pick the toughest guy in the room and take him down type of thing. And we were walking back from dinner towards our hotel in Cairns, and this guy was, like, targeting you, like, wanted you to fight him, and you just straight away effortlessly separated from the boys and I, not because you wanted to be apart from us, but because you knew he was going for you. So you, like, kind of, like, ducked and wove through the crowd to get the focus, to keep the focus on you so that he wouldn't bother anyone else, and kind of took the hard left and, yeah, exited.
Yeah, but even, was it Sydney we flew to? And that lady was super rude to the boys.
Oh, she was such...
Oh, you think you're so effing tough because you got tattoos.
I forgot about that.
You think you're big and tough. Yeah. Like, I just told you to...
mind your own business, yeah, politely.
I was so nice. Like, I'm like, listen, like...
You were nicer than I was. I was, like, ready to, like, take a photo and blast her.
Yeah, I was like, they're just being kids and they're just listening to their iPad. Like, if you're worried about their headphones, just put yours in. Oh, buddy. Yeah, buddy. You think you're big and tough because you got all those tattoos. I'm not stupid.
She was awful, wasn't she? We were just literally minding our own business and she popped off.
They're just being kids. Like,
they weren't even doing anything. They were just, yeah, that was, I forgot about that. But yeah, people do look at you and make an assumption based off how you look, which I think would be a whole other podcast episode talking about, like, how that is to move through the world with people making those assumptions about you, and also kind of the inception story about why you began getting tattoos altogether. But for today's episode, because I could just waffle on for hours with you, What would be your words of wisdom if someone is sober curious and they want to try having a break from sobriety, from drinking, even though I know you don't like to like push your message on people?
Straight edge. Yeah.
What would you recommend people do? Or you wouldn't? You're like, don't ask me.
I don't know. Like, there's pros and cons, definitely. Like, I think pros, like, I definitely feel healthier, save a lot more money, because when I'd go out, like, we'd have big nights. And I don't know if it was my size or not, but, like, I could drink like a fish. Like, it'd take me a lot to get tipsy or even drunk. But then there's also cons, like certain friends. But then if you lose those friends, were they friends or were they just like a habit? But I think if you're going to give it a go, just try it day by day. Just don't put any pressure on it, just to see how you go and how you feel and if it's worth doing for you or not. But
and if anyone listening has a drinking problem, how important is it for you as the child of someone who had a drinking problem that any parents right now listening who might identify with struggling with alcohol, how important is it, do you think, that they reach out to their GP and get some help and start looking at things a little more critically, or, you know, putting some structures in place to support themselves?
Like, knowing what I know now, I think I would have liked to have helped Mum a lot more. Like, as much as, like, I couldn't, and I did ask and tried, but, like, as much as you're caught up in it, like, it does affect your kids, and it does affect, like, that, like, kids grow up, and they grow up quick, and I think I look at time and memories like a huge value, because you don't get time back. We can get money back. We can't get our health back, but just, like, understand, like, those days, yeah, like, I suppose the days that you waste drinking for what, like, you could be spending it with the kids or, like, yeah. So, yeah, I think it does affect kids. It's definitely affected me. But, yeah, you can't really turn back time and change it, but you can move forward and, yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
For sitting with me and chatting about it all.
All good.
Appreciate it. If you enjoyed today's podcast episode, don't forget to make sure you're following the podcast. You can leave a review as well. You can also slide into my DMs. There's no point sliding into your DMs at the moment because you're having a social media break, aren't you?
Yes.
But
it's the devil.
It's the devil, yes.
It's the devil.
We've been having a lot of conversations about social media and how differently you're feeling about things since having a break from it, hey?
So much better, so much clearer. I think I've definitely changed. I think I've definitely changed a person. And the opinions of people haven't really overly
impacted you.
No, but then the opinions of me have. And then me projecting out into this so-called social media
space.
People.
Oh, we need to do an episode on this. Yeah. I feel like you and I could sit down and talk about screen time and social media and all of that, because even since you've stopped using social media, like, over the last, it's been what, maybe a month and a half now, 2 months by the time this episode goes live, I've been really inspired by the changes I've seen in you, and they're little micro changes, but perhaps we save that for another day.
Yeah, I think that would be a good chat.
All right. Again, thank you for opening up and sharing your story with our listeners. Thank you so much for listening to today's podcast episode. If you want more of the I Am podcast in your ears, make sure you become a podcast subscriber. It is really, really simple to do. All of the details are in the show notes. For the cost, actually less than the cost of a cup of coffee per month, you will receive access to exclusive podcast episodes. That's right, you'll get a bonus episode every single week that you will not hear anywhere else. And to be honest with you, I really am sharing a lot more over in those exclusive episodes. It feels like a really safe zone for me. So make sure you check out the subscription offers that we do have available for that exclusive content. And perhaps best of all of the episodes will be ad-free. So if you feel good about supporting a female-founded, female-led business, check out the subscription offerings available and become a podcast supporter today. Today's podcast episode was recorded on the land of the Bundjalung Nation. In the spirit of reconciliation, we acknowledge the traditional custodians of country throughout Australia and their connections to land, sea, and community. We pay our respect to their elders, past and present, and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples today.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.